Hello, friends, and welcome to the Mini Edit from Edit Your Life. In these snack-sized mini episodes, I answer your questions about everything from self-care to parenting to relationships to home and more. Think of me like that friend you text or call when you need a quick piece of compassionate and candid advice. Send me your questions. I have already received several questions in the realm of sex ed. Keep them coming. A couple of these are about how to start the conversations. Plural intended, because sex ed isn't just one talk. It's a lot of little everyday touch points. This is the perfect place to begin. One person wrote, "What's the first thing about sex I need to tell my 10-year-old boy? We haven't talked about it much yet, but I know it's time." Another asked about sex ed for the elementary tween set, noting that, "My parents never brought up the subject, so I don't have anything to model from. I want to talk about it before it gets awkward for them. It's already awkward for me." These are such excellent questions, and I think it's safe to say that a majority of us got little to nothing in terms of comprehensive sex ed as kids. So a few preliminary thoughts. First, to harken back to something that Dr. Tina Payne Bryson recently shared, history is not destiny. Instead of worrying about not doing it right, remember that we have an opportunity to do better with this next generation. This is a great thing. For more from Tina, listen to the episode Simple and Compassionate Parenting Tactics. Second, these listeners were both referring to roughly a 10 to 12-year-old age window, and literally any time is a great time to have health-related conversations with your kids. And I wanted to say that you can start having conversations related to sex ed, but that have nothing to do with sex, as soon as your kids are verbal. Seriously. And the great news is, the earlier you start having these conversations, the more opportunities you have to have conversations where you are the key provider of trusted information versus, you know, searching for and finding some weird stuff on the internet. Third, I will caveat by saying I am not a trained sex educator. However, I did spend about 5 years consulting on content and parent communication with the incredible Advocates for Youth and Amaze.org. And as a parent who also received no sex ed, I am personally invested in this topic, so much so that I applied for and joined my city's new committee to review and revise the district's health curriculum. This is a big deal because people who have listened to this podcast for a while know that I tend to steer clear of committee work. And fourth, the good news, if you're feeling awkward, is that preliminary conversations about sex ed have nothing to do with sex. Think of them as your training wheels to get more and more confident with having open and honest conversations. And trust me, creating a non-judgmental, shame-free conversation zone in this realm will have a positive impact on your communication across so many other lanes. This is an awesome opportunity. Okay, I'm going to share about the two preliminary topics I think are a must, and I'll do that after a quick break. As you all know, I value stories and the connection that the sharing of stories can bring so very much. And if you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, I have a lovely option for you. Storyworth is all about celebrating and preserving stories. Every week, Storyworth emails a loved one of your choosing a question prompt that you can pick. For example, how did you decide when to have children? And what was your mom like when you were a child? Your loved one simply responds to the email with a story of any length. You will then receive copies of these emails, and after 1 year, Storyworth compiles the stories and any photos provided into a keepsake book. Given how important relationship touchpoints are in everyday life, I recommend having this keepsake book in an easy-to-access place like your living room, so you can benefit from rereading over time and also share stories with your immediate family members. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/edit. That's storyworth.com/edit to save $10 on your first purchase. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships. How to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/edit. Okay, let's dive into the two preliminary topics that I think are a must to start your conversations about sex ed. Or if you've already started and haven't gotten to these, give it a go. The first is related to body parts. Use real anatomical words, just like you would for the words like elbow, knee, nose. Use real words like vulva and penis. I have several whys around this. The first is, your kids deserve the facts and they will not be fazed by these words. The cutesy masking words that people often use are unnecessary and really only function to relieve adult discomfort. And your kid's body should be about them, not you. The second why is that even though I know that this is not the intention for many parents, not using real words sets the stage for shame-based education, which is the opposite of what you want. What you're striving for is open, honest, caring communication, and using real anatomical words is just a really simple way to begin. And third, this is a little heavier, but there are serious potential implications in the sex abuse lane. It is a reality that predators use cues, like the use of cutesy word for genitals, as a sign for targeting. Now, here's the great news. You don't need to be heavy-handed about this usage at all. Just reference it, for example, at bath time or any other times it comes up. And if you've already been using cutesy words, that's okay. You can course correct anytime, which is great. So, for example, if your kid comes to you and says, "Oh, my pee-pee feels funny," that would be a great opportunity to be calm and light and say, "Hey, bud, let's start by actually using the real word. It's penis, okay? Instead of pee-pee. And also, can you tell me more? Is something sore? Itchy? Did something happen?" It's an easy way to educate in a 10-second moment and also fact-find while you're at it. So as you can see, super simple, super easy. The second topic that I think it is imperative to talk about is consent. And hold up before you get all worried about things, but the thing I love is that it is a multi-win, in addition to being crucial at a baseline. I'm going to tell you about why it matters and a couple of easy examples for how to talk about it in everyday life. So why it matters. Early conversations about consent don't have to do anything with sex, but they will eventually inform decision-making around sex while also teaching kids relational skills like empathy and compassion. We all want our kids to be more empathic and compassionate, so this is a good thing. Now, how to do it. For kids, the simplest entry to this that I've found connects also to teaching kids about bodily autonomy, so that is fantastic. For example, the really big one for me is that hugs are not mandatory. Not everybody likes them. And I feel really strongly about this personally because Violet, as a little one, did not like hugging people she didn't have regular contact with. It made a lot of sense. So how I would support her in this is by saying something like, if we were approaching somebody or somebody was approaching us, "Oh, hey, Vi, here's so-and-so. Do you want to give a high five or a hug or a wave?" And it's really important to do this in front of the other person in order to model choice and consent. And yes, this applies to family too. And yes, they might bristle. And yes, it's important for you to advocate for and support your kid. There are so many other everyday situations where you can educate about consent in a not big deal way. Another common example would be if you have siblings or friends at a table and one of them grabs something from the other, food, a toy, art supplies, and they do so without asking. Again, calmly, lightly, and not in a shaming way, you could say something like, "Oh, hey, I see that you really want that item, but it's really important to ask before touching somebody else's stuff. They might not mind, but they also might be sad or hurt by that. Let's try this again." It's just as simple as that. I hope this was helpful. If you have a question for me, please drop me a line at edityourlifeshow@gmail.com or DM or comment on a post on Facebook or Instagram at edityourlifeshow or Dr. Christine Coe. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.